And welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start today. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing fine. Game to game night, so got that push up. Game and football in the rain tonight, I think. Apparently, it's going to be even heavier rain in the next couple days, so we're going to have a lot of high school football and a lot of weather here coming up. But that's you know, that happens, right? Just want to avoid the thunderstorms.
Yes, just avoid the thunderstorms. We can all handle a little bit of rain.
We're going to have several days of it, apparently.
I guess so. I'm getting out of here tomorrow. So
you are?
I'm avoiding.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're going. How cold is it up there? Is it cold? It's probably great,
it's supposed
right?
to be. Yeah, it's supposed to be like 80s.
Oh, heck yeah. Time for a little Malik Willis. Let's go.
Hey, he still hadn't ruled out Jordan Love.
Is Jordan Love still, like, what's the injury report say on Jordan Love?
I haven't looked at the actual injury report. I mean, he's the only one that didn't practice yesterday. I know that.
No participation, yeah. Knee. Yeah.
He's leaving the door open. Even Malik said yesterday that Jordan's preparing to play. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. So I wonder, will they actually give the questionable designation right Friday?
I don't know.
I hope for your sake. Just you can still hold on to that, you know, all the way until kickoff.
I hope so,
all the way
too.
Until warm-ups.
Because it's going to – actually, you know what? If he's not going to play, I'd hope they just go ahead and rule him out. I need some time to prepare myself to – I mean, I'm already preparing myself anyway.
Yeah, you've kind of done
that. Malik
right?
Willis is – that's what I'm going to have to watch on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, but now they've gotten me talked back into, oh, I could watch Jordan Love on one leg out there. That's fun. Can't move. Maybe can't, step forward.
Throw. Yeah. Well, hey, I hope it works out for you, man.
Thank you.
You know what? You don't know that Malik Willis won't light it up, too.
I don't know that. I got a pretty good idea, but I don't know that. You're correct.
Right. Yeah.
You are correct. Although, I will say, I think a lot of Titans fans have now talked themselves into really looking forward to the Malik Willis, Will Levis showdown in week 3. And, if Love
comes
back too
quickly, they'd much rather see
that.
Yeah.
And that's going to ruin that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, if you're a Titans fan, you definitely want Malik Willis against Will Levis as opposed to Jordan Love against Will Levis. Yeah. So. Yeah, it seems, man. Who knows? I hope he's able to come back. That'd be awesome.
It would.
Probably game after.
My
year?
Guess is the Minnesota game. He'll be back, which is week 4.
Big NFC Norris showdown. Yeah. Well, you know what? I've seen Packers Twitter get excited with some highlights of Malik Willis,
yes, and so have.
I wish you the best.
Yes, they have. I've been looking all week, and I'm like, guys, you just don't know what's about to be coming your way on Sunday. But you're going to find out pretty quickly.
If he plays well and they win.
I've already said it.
Yeah.
LaFleur
is a
coach
freaking
of the year.
Genius.
Coach of the year. We got a lot to get into on the program today. Charles Robinson will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We'll get into all things NFL with him. I'm sure we might get his opinion on the Malik Willis show that we're about to see on Sunday coming up. I'm sure Charles will have very interesting things to say about Will Levis and his interception from last week as well, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, he was texting me Sunday.
I'm sure he was.
I was like, I know, I saw it too, dude.
Trust me.
We saw it.
We saw it. Not very good. We'll get into the Titans and the Jets, that matchup throughout the show today, and dive into some numbers on an area of the Titans team, not named quarterback. That is a very familiar problem. We'll get into that coming up a little bit later in the show as well. Will Levis addressed the media yesterday. Nick, did we possibly find this clip? All right, so let's just go ahead and set this thing up because this was a big talking point yesterday after Will Levis had his press conference at about 2:30. Here is a part of what Will Levis had to say at his Wednesday press conference yesterday.
Secondary, you know, they're really good, really solid on the outside. Obviously one, but 4-2, he's going to be good out there for them. And hopefully we just find ways to take easy throws, then also find ways to develop one-on-one shots down the field. So they're good for a reason. They do things well. DeMario does a great job of leading them in the middle there. And like I said, I feel like though we do have some good things that we're going to be able to work against them and hopefully open up and give us some good ops.
You ready?
I'm ready.
DeMario! It's the new battle cry and Stilly and Company. I'm going to I'm not going to give a take right now. I want your take. Is this a big deal? Is this a problem? He said DeMario. There's no DeMario on the Jets.
Yeah.
Jared Stillman lost his freaking mind about it.
I did hear him say it. And I thought to myself, as soon as he said it, I was like, does DeMario Davis play for the Jets?
I was like, that was a while ago, right? Like,
DeMario Davis. I mean, is he still in the league? Like, where's DeMario Davis?
He is with the Saints.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't think he plays for the Jets. And I was like, is he talking about Mosley? Like, who's he talking about? So I think it was just a misspeak. So, no, I don't think it's a huge deal. I don't think that that means that Will Levis has no freaking clue what he's about to see on Sunday.
He won't prepare one bit.
But
he's
let me
not
tell
watching
you
any film.
It is pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
The you know, DeMario, he's leading them right there in the middle. That guy, you talk about a leader. It's DeMario. It's that guy right there.
It is funny. It's one of those things that, like, we can laugh about for a segment. It's like, oh, God, that's dumb. You know, that's pretty funny. But what's funnier is spending an entire show freaking out about it because it means something really important.
I especially enjoyed the Jared versus Joe yesterday when you asked him to rank, you know, the missing of passes, the inaccuracy, the death pick that he threw on Sunday. The DeMario thing,
getting
him
himself bludgeoned,
and getting himself killed
and
out there by
DeMario!
Not sliding, and the fact that the DeMario one wasn't last. Was
pretty he good. Actually didn't. Yeah, he wasn't willing to rank it last.
You know, the interceptions. You know, the inaccuracy is one thing, but my God, he doesn't know who's playing for the other team's defense.
And in all seriousness, and I said this on my winning Jared versus Joe. Well, what these guys do if you go through a week with any team, college, pro, and they often will say, yeah, like 23, we got to watch 23, you know, 17. Obviously, some people know the names of, you know, I mean, they know the names of star players and stuff like that, but they're really, they do talk about each other in numbers.
They do. Now, I will say, I don't know that I've ever heard anyone call them by somebody else out there, like a quarterback being like, yeah, you know, referring to Brian Urlacher. You know, Derek Brooks.
Buckus.
Buckus really looking
good out there.
Derek Brooks is looking good out there.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's one of those things, like, it would be a funny interview, you know, I guess the next time Levis is available is after Sunday. So, especially if they win.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, so who the heck did you mean when you said DeMario? If you go listen to that clip, he's going through the D-line. Yep. He goes through the secondary. He says 1-4. One is Sauce Gardner, 4 is DJ Reed.
Yeah.
And then he says in the middle there, DeMario leads him. So that's CJ Mosley.
Yeah.
So there's no link with their names.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Exactly. Yeah. It's pretty funny. I don't think it means that Will Levis sits around rubbing mayonnaise all over himself during the week instead of studying film with the opponent. I really don't think that's what it is. But that's what Jared went, though. But, you know,
he doesn't know the game plan.
Yeah. Once it's like, you know, like, what do they think they do in the building all day? Like, obviously, the great players take it home and they do extra. But, like, what do you think they're doing all day? Like, it's forced for you to prepare. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even like your option. It's not optional to prepare to the opponent. You're actually in film with the OC and QB coach, forced to watch the film if you go to work. Is it possible he's not going to work?
I mean,
this may be the next Stillion Company.
Did he just
have we seen his car parked in the parking lot
for the press conference?
And then just leave.
Yeah. So, you know, we were watching Jets tape from 2017, which is the last time that DeMario Davis was a member of the New York Jets.
That Jamal Adams, we really got to watch out for that guy. Oh, wait, he's on my team.
It's just beautiful.
It's just, you know, it's just like. It is funny, and I would like to – I'd love to know from Will Levis, like, what was the mix-up? Were you thinking of DeMario Davis or you just – you know? But also, we've made it funnier. We being this station, I guess, because everything he does we are somehow attached to, I guess. We've made it way funnier.
I will say this is part of what happens when you play as poorly as Will Levis did on Sunday. Everything starts to get parsed – very, very quickly in this league.
By the time we get to about 5:55 Friday, Will Levis will be potentially guilty of half the crimes that have been committed in the state of Tennessee in the last week.
Yes, exactly. That's what happens when you start to play poorly. So
don't do the miracle pick.
This
would
be
what is it?
Miracle flip.
Miracle flip.
How you forget your own creation?
God dang it! Sorry.
Come on,
DeMario. I'm just gonna. That'll just be the. I think that's our safe word now. You know,
if something's DeMario!
Really, if something's really going bad on the show, DeMario, we just change. You know, just switch gears real quick.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. There was one part of the Levis discussion that came up yesterday that I do think is worth pondering and considering as the Titans move forward here. We will get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on Will Levis and the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. There is one part of the Levis discussion that you guys talked about yesterday on Jared versus Joe that's been kind of batted around this week that I do think is interesting, worth considering as they move forward here, and that is basically this. I think if you're being honest with yourself, we would all recognize Will Levis, pretty sharp guy. Like, if you listen to him talk, him break down the game of football, the interviews that he has, like, he's pretty sharp guy. Got a good head on his shoulders, all those things. You can make fun of the mayonnaise if you want to, but pretty sharp guy.
I think you're smart if you like mayonnaise.
What about the football IQ, for lack of a better term? Like, the football IQ of it. Because I will say, I think you can – there are countless examples of – and Willie was talking about this the other day on their show. He went back to his playing days at Vanderbilt. Talked about – I mean, there are a ton of guys – that were really, really book smart and that had a lot of, like, intelligence to them that for whatever reason, when they got on the basketball court with Willie's Vanderbilt teams, could not figure out where to be, could not figure out where to go, all those things. And conversely, there were guys that they were worried to death about in the classroom that had the best basketball IQ out there and just it came naturally to them. Now, Levis, again, that's what makes the interception on Sunday so mystifying is because I don't look at Levis's career in the NFL to this point and just say, man, he's just making boneheaded plays left and right. Like, he's throwing the ball where he has no business throwing the ball all the time. He's making stupid decisions other than not being able to slide, which maybe that factors into this. But do you think, based on what we've seen from Levis to this point, are you worried about – football IQ seems like a harsh way to put it because I think he's smart that way. But just, I guess, processing decision-making, reacting to what you're seeing in a live game setting out there in the National Football League. Are you worried about that with Will Levis?
It's hard in this week to just dismiss that after that play.
Yeah.
But let me ask you real quick off the top of your head, what are the dumbest three plays he made last year?
I mean, they probably all involve not sliding.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I can't remember. Obviously, he threw picks. I can't remember a pick last year. And I'm probably misremembering, so understand that. I'm sure what were off top here, what were his numbers last year? How many picks did he throw?
I think four.
I'm sure, you know, one or two of those was probably like, holy cow, what are you doing? I just don't remember. Like, I don't remember.
And
that.
As we've discussed, he threw a few more passes that probably should have been
yes.
that never
sure.
got picked.
Sure. But I just I go back to last year, that, to me, I didn't think that was a big problem. This last game, it was a big problem. And I think the most consistent part is the sliding. He had the – I don't know if we have that audio. I mean, I think Karski did a good job of asking this question of Levis. But it might be worth just playing him as opposed to me recapping it. But he was asked about, the sliding thing too. I just think that – I think that's the consistent – thing where, and I even said it on Monday, one of them, it's like, I get it because, like, you are close to the stick, so it's like, but you can also go forward. If you go forward, if you throw yourself forward on the ground, they still can't hit you, and then you don't get you know, you don't get stopped where you start your slide, you know? Some people aren't comfortable sliding, and I think that's part of it for him. But also, I think, you know, it's more than that. But so to answer your question, I have not thought that was a big deal. I mean, I think all the other things the other day were just missing throws, right? I mean, even the thing at the end, Callahan told us that was on Ridley. He read that right. Ridley read it wrong. It was supposed to be a back shoulder throw. So I don't think that's the issue. I don't think that's what's going to be his undoing if he is undone. I think it's going to be his inability to do the job.
We've got that clip. Let's hear what Will Levis had to say yesterday when asked about the problems that he's had getting down, protecting himself.
Yeah, I think it was I was looking forward to putting that on display a little bit, but I think the couple opportunities where I did have the ability to pull it down and try to get that first down, I just felt like it was right in that area where if I slid, I wouldn't have got it, and I just needed to just be able to fall forward for a couple more. So I think in third downs or in certain situations, it's going to be more critical for me to know where the sticks are once I get past them to be able to get down, and so I'm not just guessing and hoping that I need a few more or thinking that I need a few more before I get the first. But no, it was something that I was thinking of, but I just think it was just those couple weird situations where I thought I needed a couple yards to get us that first.
So that was what Will Levis had to say yesterday on the sliding front, which I understand what he's saying there. It's game one of a 17-game NFL season, and the play specifically that he's referring to I think happened in the second quarter. So, number one, he'd already picked up the first down when he decided to launch himself. So that's the other part of this.
Yeah, one of them he was way past it.
Right.
Yeah.
I just think I understand if Will Levis goes out there on Sunday and the Titans need to pick up a first down on 3rd and 7 and he runs, escapes the pocket, and at the 6 pulls up and slides because somebody's right in front of him and doesn't get the first down, then Titans fans are like, what are you doing? Like, lower his shoulder, get the first down. But the opposite is also true. Like, I think there's a balance between making the plays you got to make as a football player when you turn into one of those running the football, and also recognizing that your body and your arm, your health is critical to the entire franchise. It gets critical to the whole thing. Like, number one, if you're him, and somebody just pointed this out on the text line, you know in the back of your mind the way that things are going right now at that position, if you perform and you're available and you play well, a enormous, enormous payday is coming your way at some point. Like, that's what it is. And look, they can block that out all they want, and I'm not just talking about Levis here, young quarterbacks. You can try to block that out all you want. There's no way you're not thinking about that to some degree. Like, if I play really well and I play well enough to get that next deal, the life of me and my entire family changes forever. Like, that is 100% part of this when it comes to evaluating young quarterbacks. But beyond just the money part of it, like, you have to know if you're a quarterback in this league that your availability affects so many people. I've heard Brady talk about this. I've heard Manning talk about this. Aaron Rodgers has talked about this. Like, your availability has such an impact on everybody else in the organization that you've got to learn how to be smart. I remember the Packers played Cincinnati a couple of years ago. It was Joe Burrow's second year, the year they beat the Titans in the playoffs, got to the Super Bowl. And they were playing. It was early in the season. It was a great back-and-forth game. And Joe Burrow took off one time and just got absolutely rocked, just rocked right in the middle of the field. And they were showing, like, on the midfield after the game, Rodgers was having a long conversation with Burrow at midfield. And he got asked after the game, he's like, what were you talking to Joe Burrow about? He's like, yeah, I was telling him he's got to get down and protect himself because his availability is this entire organization's future. And was, like, going through, like, some 5-minute spiel with Joe Burrow about getting out of the way and protecting yourself. Like, you have to, as much as it goes against your instincts as a quarterback, you have to find a way to protect yourself. And it seems like that's just not clicking with him.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, it's no question the huge payday that could be there for him. And again, that does not have to be because he is, he's a superstar. He's going to be one of the top five QBs in the league. No. Trevor Lawrence just got paid. Tua just got paid. You don't have to be a superstar to get paid. You just have to be good enough to for your team to sign up for you to be the starter for long term. But here's another thing about that. If he the timeline is so accelerated now, I mean, if Levis misses some time with an injury, that could be it.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I'd be surprised if, like, you know, this game coming up, he gets hurt, misses the rest of the year, misses a bunch of games, and they're like, okay, well, we're moving on. But, like, you can't afford to miss time. You got to be out there weekly now and prove that, you know, you should have this job.
Well, and here's the other thing, going back to the football IQ part of this. I'm with you. I don't think it's been some huge problem. I will say Callahan's comments earlier this week really concerned me in terms of, yeah, right before the drive, we had a conversation about, look, our defense is winning this game, man. There's no reason for us to take any unnecessary risks. Be smart with the football. And to go from having that conversation on the sideline to making the play that he made to throw that interception, you know, normally it's Thursday. We'd be devoting all of our attention to the Titans' next opponent, and we're going to do that throughout the show today. But that's how egregious like this week was for him, that it's Thursday, and all anybody on our text line, all anybody that wants to still talk about is Will Levis and the way that he played last week. So like, it's concerning to me that you have that conversation on the sideline immediately followed up by one of the dumbest plays in the history of the franchise.
Yeah. No, it's all fair, and that's, again, how – the conversation.
Like that plays in Darius Raynaud bringing the ball out of the end zone, taking a knee, and getting a safety territory.
No, it's one of the worst QB plays because, again, it's situational. Brett Favre has done things like that, by the way. Like, he's had like flips that have turned into picks. But up in a low scoring game in the fourth to lose the game, the situationally, that's what makes that one a higher level of bad.
Yeah. We'll continue the discussion on Will Levis. Take more of your thoughts coming up next, 615-737-1025, our phone number. More on the Titans coming up next. We'll also hear from Mike Hammetry of the Simmons Bank Open. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 1025-1063, the game this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. Commodores taking on Georgia State on the road, pregame at 4:30, kickoff at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Taking your thoughts on Will Levis and the Titans, we'll hear from Mike Hammetry from the Simmons Bank Open coming up here in just a few minutes. Jackson says, Roger's going to have a nice chat with Will Levis on Sunday over some nice ayahuasca. Maybe. If I'm Levis, if I get a random invite to some compound in Leaper's Fork this week, maybe just turn it down.
Or at least I'm going to bring, like, a friend to, like, someone to, like, you're my safe friend. And when things are getting weird, DeMario! Then we got to leave.
Run.
Okay?
Like, Aaron's in a cave. What's going on down here? Why are we meeting in a cave?
I don't think I want to go in the cave, Aaron. See ya. Thanks.
Herb from McEwen. Talk about Burks. What's it going to take to get him involved or produce in the offense? One catch for 2 yards. I don't know. I mean, this is not – I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Herb here. I don't even know if I want to talk about Treylon Burks. Like, until I see him do something in a game, Treylon Burks is moved squarely to the back burner for me. Maybe that's just me. And if that's not how everybody else feels, that's fine. But, like, we've spent so much energy talking about Treylon Burks all offseason, over the years, since he was drafted, and he got 3 touches for 3 yards the other day. I'm done with Treylon Burks until I see something happen in a game.
Yeah, Herb. I like Herb's contributions, but I just don't – yeah, I don't know why. Like, he's so far down the list of things that matter right now, especially with Hopkins.
That's,
I mean, Hopkins
thing.
Is back now full, so I think Burks just –
he's probably going to barely play.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a backup. And I will – do you know off the top of your head the snap counts from the last week?
I don't.
Burks, NWI? I would be willing to bet that moving forward there will be more snaps for NWI. If the other guys are healthy – then, you know, I think NWI is a guy who gets – I'm sure they'll weave in Burks some, but
yeah
at this point, it's just – so you say someone else Texans, Burks should be traded. Okay.
Traded for what?
Right, what are you getting? You know, I mean, like, it's not bad to have depth, even if it's obviously a struggling player, but, like, someone with talent as your depth. Good. Depth is good. People get hurt. Well, I wouldn't trade away depth when you're not going to get anything anyway. No, but the fact that he went in the, as a first rounder does not give him any value now as a trade chip. He has no value.
And as far as what's it going to take to get him going, I have no idea. I mean, if I knew the answer to that, I'd probably be on the Titans coaching staff because they've been trying to figure that out for 3 years.
Right. So, yeah, it's just – and also, I mean, really, he has less value as a trade chip because he still has a first-round contract.
Right.
You know, so it's not like he's just like a UDFA that is basically no impact on your payroll.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it just kind of is what it is at this point with him. You know, Hopkins is going to be interesting to monitor. That is one thing that with everything that happened last week, we didn't talk about a ton. You know, clearly there was – I think a baseline of a comfort level established between Levis and Hopkins last year. And he basically didn't have it on Sunday. Now, you know, Hopkins got out there for a limited number of snaps. He ended up, I think, with one catch for 8 yards. But if he's full go this week and you've got that guy out there, like, I do wonder how much does that change the offense? How much do we see maybe Levis with his quote-unquote security blanket out there? What sort of a difference does that make to him throughout the whole game?
Right, and thanks to Chase Whitebluff sent me that breakdown. It's interesting because, yeah, Hopkins had 17 snaps. Burks had 44 snaps,
yeah,
which is wild to me.
44 snaps, 3 touches, 3 yards.
Yeah, 44 snaps, and NWI just 13. But I watch it this week. I could be wrong, but if Hopkins comes in and basically gets those 60-ish, 55-ish snaps – I wouldn't be surprised at all. I would make a prediction. Maybe it's a hot take, but I would make a prediction that NWI ends up with more snaps than Burks. Burks specifically plugged in to be Hopkins' replacement, and I think Hopkins back in. I think NWI becomes your fourth, you know, Swiss Army knife kind of guy.
As we've said before,
I could be wrong.
NWI is inevitable. He's like Thanos. He's just going to find his way out there.
This is right.
He's going to find his way out there. Looking forward to seeing it coming up later this week. Cool event. Speaking of this week here in Nashville coming up, in Franklin down at Vanderbilt Legends Club. I got out there yesterday and saw the prep for it. Looks pretty cool. Make sure you check it out this weekend. The Simmons Bank Open coming up with some Korn Ferry Tour Finals golf. So make sure if you've never been out there before to check it out. Proceeds going to the Snedeker Foundation with our friend of the show, Brant Snedeker, as well. Caught up with Mike Hammontry of the Simmons Bank Open to highlight what's going on down at Vanderbilt Legends Club starting today. Here was that conversation with Mike Hammontry. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mike Hammontry, tournament director of the Simmons Bank Open. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, Robbie. Thanks for having us on today.
Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. So the Simmons Bank Open coming up this weekend at Vanderbilt Legends Club. For our listeners out there, just tell us about this tournament. Obviously, people around here are very familiar with Brant Snedeker and the Snedeker Foundation, but tell us about what people can expect this weekend out at Vanderbilt Legends Club.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Simmons Bank Open is the second leg of the Korn Ferry Tour Finals, the path to the PGA Tour. So 30 of the guys playing this weekend. We'll move on to the PGA Tour next year and join the likes of Brant and Will Zalatoris and some of the other great stars of the PGA Tour. So we're really excited to have them here in Middle Tennessee and out here in Franklin at the Vanderbilt Legends Club.
We're looking forward to that as well. And it's just the game of golf and the growth of the game. It's been so much fun to watch, obviously, Scheffler on the PGA Tour and what he's done this year. But you watch some of these guys on the Korn Ferry, and you can just see it. As you said, the stars of the future in the PGA. How cool is it to have that setting here in Nashville, in the Nashville area?
It's pretty amazing, actually. I mean, you think about, I mean, Scottie Scheffler finished second here at the Simmons Bank Open in 2019. So just a few short years later, these guys are winning major tournaments, winning FedEx Cups, millions of dollars, and becoming household names. So to be able to catch a glimpse of them, you know, before they get there is pretty special. It's always amazing to me the number of volunteers we have who talk about when I remember when so-and-so stayed at my house and now I saw them on TV, you know, making the top 10. And it's a cool experience to catch them before they become the big name. So really great. It's great for the game of golf. You get a lot closer to the action with the Korn Ferry Tour than you do sometimes with the PGA Tour. And so especially for the kids, they can get up close and personal to see these guys really perform at the highest level.
So, Mike, if you've got a child with you and you're listening out there and you're 17 years or younger, you know, children tickets are free, whether to purchase them, an adult ticket, and free admission for all military first responders and veterans this weekend as well. You can find those tickets at SimmonsBankOpen.com. Tell us about just the atmosphere and what people can expect when they're going to the course this weekend.
This is a great place. I often describe it as kind of a food, music, and culture festival that happens to have a golf tournament going on in the background. And really what we try to do here is make sure that every spectator, every sponsor, every patron, every caddy, every volunteer, every player, they all have the best time when they leave. So for folks coming out to the course this weekend, you're going to have a heck of a great time. I'm watching Hogwood Barbecue set up now, getting their smoker rolling for the week. Dream Burger will be out here making smash burgers, Mojo's Tacos. I mean, we got all kinds of fun stuff going on out here. So definitely jump on SimmonsBankOpen.com, grab a couple tickets for the weekend, bring the kids. And especially on a day like today, 9/11, I'm sitting here staring at all these wonderful American flags, feeling very patriotic. And so we're happy to be able to extend free tickets to all our veterans and service members and first responders as well.
You know, and Mike, I brought it up before, but obviously people really interested and really familiar with Brant Snedeker and his journey around here. Can you just speak to kind of the ambassador for the game of golf that he's been in this area and continues to be with this tournament?
I'm not sure there's anybody better, honestly. Brant is just an A-plus human being in general, but for the game of golf, couldn't be better. You think about the amount of kids that go through his junior tour, the Sneds Tour, that the Tennessee Golf Foundation, we operate all across the state. You think about just kind of the work he does, he and his wife Mandy, what they do with the Snedeker Foundation for our kids, a wonderful nonprofit here in Middle Tennessee, and all the other folks that are impacted by it. I mean, Brant has not only become an ambassador for golf in Nashville, but really just for Nashville in and of itself. And I got to spend some time with him on Monday, and every time I do, it's like a long lost brother just getting back together. So he is a world class guy, and we are so thankful to have him part of this event.
What about just the course too? You know, I played out at Vanderbilt Legends Club. It's a wonderful looking course. I'm really excited to see, you know, if people haven't been there, how they can experience the course this weekend. But just tell us a little bit about the course as well.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this place and you think about the collegiate golf that goes on out here. Both the Vanderbilt men's and women's teams are you know, some of the best programs in the country, and the golf course reflects that. So it is set up incredibly well for spectators. The north course itself has probably four or five holes that just stack right on top of each other. And you can see a ton of great golf and not have to walk very far. So it is a spectator-friendly course for sure. We got a lot of great hole setups out there, a lot of great viewing opportunities, especially around the 18th and 9th green. So it is a very spectator-friendly golf course, and we look forward to having a bunch of them out here this weekend.
Well, make sure you check it out this weekend. Again, tickets can be found at SimmonsBankOpen.com. Taking place this weekend at Vanderbilt Legends Club starting Thursday. It'll run through the weekend as well. Mike, really appreciate you taking time to be with us today.
Robbie, thanks, man.
Absolutely. Mike Hametree, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. It'll be a fun time coming up at the Simmons Bank Open. Make sure you go check it out. Again, SimmonsBankOpen.com. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up next. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time! This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com for the world of sports this week. Joe Rexroad, as you do every Thursday morning at 6:45, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Thank you very much. Well, I don't want to steal thunder from either of you. I mean, an easy best would be we had the first full week of everything, which was amazing. I will boil it down, though. My best is Northern Illinois. They had another boneyard win, which is what they call them. That's 19, but it's the biggest win in school history over Notre Dame. I don't know what it'll lead to. I do know that they physically dominated, and this is maybe where you and I differ, Robbie, but I love the senior-loaded lower level team that can do things, and maybe they can, maybe they can't. Maybe they'll lose three games in the MAC. But they got all seniors on their offensive line. They got almost all seniors on their defensive line. And it's a bunch of guys who have stayed there. They have a running back who they kept there who could be playing a lot of places. I do want to read this quote because I caught up with Thomas Hammack Sunday and wrote a piece about them. And I want to read this quote real quick about college football from Thomas Hammack, Northern Illinois' coach. Quote, "It's so college football. In my heart, I don't believe in transaction relationships. I was in the NFL for 5 years. I know what that looks like, all the different things involved, money and everything else. Part of the reason I came back to college was to help young people develop and grow and mature, just like coaches helped me when I was in college. Transactional relationships don't do it for me. If you're doing this job and you're not about impacting them but preparing them for life, then what you're really doing is screwing them over," end quote. And some people will roll their eyes at that and say it's coach speak and all that, but it's real. Like, it's still the foundation of what you're doing here, even though we know it's big money, it's big business, it's basically semi-pro sports. So kudos to people like that who do their job like that.
Nice.
And my worst in sports, sorry, but it's got to be Will Levis. You know, it's just a disappointment, obviously. It does not condemn him to QB3 in the UFL as of Thanksgiving. I mean, but you know you're going to have the overreaction, especially when it's just the first game and it happens like that. Just critical mistakes. Fascinated to see how he bounces back this week. I certainly, some of these QBs in this league, there are a lot who had really, really bad days.
Yep.
Some of them are going to probably flip that around this week. Now, some of them have track records that would tell you they will, but I'm not out on Levis. It was definitely a discouraging step back for him.
Nick, these are your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Yeah, just to go back quickly on Joe's for NIU, I don't know if y'all saw, but NIU's coach had a phone call with Marcus Freeman about, hey, this is what we saw from
trying to
you.
Help him out. Yeah.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
But anyway, so now the situation was not great for Tyreek Hill whatsoever this past weekend, and it raises a lot of concerns for sure. But one thing that I saw that was hysterical from this one spot was he may have been arrested or detained, but when he scored the touchdown, Jaylen Waddle immediately, you know, had one of the best celebrations I've seen in a while. They were trolling the cops, trolling the situation, acted like he was arresting him after a huge touchdown to start the season off. So I thought that was pretty funny. The worst in sports, when it rains, it pours. Deshaun Watson, just more and more legal trouble for him, and just the play that he has had has been god-awful. He is terrible. And then also, too, just the limelighting that he's had just around everything outside of football. Now on top of football, it's just terrible. So just not great for him, and something to keep tabs on for him outside of the world of playing for the Browns. But yeah, he definitely had things go pretty bad for him the last few days.
Real quickly on the Deshaun Watson front, if you've missed it, there's another lawsuit that's come up involving Deshaun Watson, not involving the massage part of it. This woman claims that she was supposed to go on a date with Watson,
right,
and basically he sexually assaulted her in her apartment. So
right. So now, of course, you know, Browns fans are hoping this can somehow be like a way to get out of the contract.
Right.
The NFL, that is something that we'll talk with Charles Robinson about later, but you know, the NFL has not dismissed it. You know, the question is this a new thing? Is this considered a new thing, or because it happened prior, you know, it's part of the, I mean, that's a big question. I don't know exactly what the ramifications are, but we can get into that later.
Well, and Tony Busby, the lawyer that represented, you know, the different women that filed against him a couple of years ago, representing this woman as well. So kind of the same thing from just in terms of like the same lawyer involved with it, but totally different in terms of the actual case. So going to be interesting to see how the NFL handles that one. My best thing, Tennessee's defensive front. They were unbelievable against NC State. And that's the one part about, you know, Nico obviously is going to get a lot of attention at quarterback, and we've seen some glimpses for him where he's looked really good. Samson was great. I still think they got some things to figure out, you know, in the passing game down the field. But that's the one part of the team that feels pretty different for Tennessee this year, is how loaded they are on the defensive front. And that's, you know, that's the defensive lines, also linebackers. Like, I think Peely and Carter specifically have a chance to be just a dynamic combo that they've got at linebacker. So it was It felt a little bit different to watch against NC State. They were just violent in that game. And I was talking to a guy who graduated yesterday from Tennessee in 98, you know, back when they had those loaded defensive fronts as well. And he's like, it's the first time in a while they reminded me of those teams. So I'll go Tennessee's defensive front, best thing in sports. Worst thing, you know, you've brought up Levis. I think certainly you can make the argument for him. I'll pivot to another Titans-related. The special teams was atrocious. And, you know, it goes through the punt block, the decision to make some of the returns that Jaquan Jackson did. I thought it was just an abysmal showing from the Titans special teams in week one. And not that that's like the most important factor of your team, but it can lose you games. And we've seen it lose the Titans games before. They got to figure that out as they move forward here. Beyond the quarterback and him playing better and all that stuff, the special teams was embarrassingly bad on Sunday.
Yeah, they provided multiple very easy options for this one this week.
They did.
The Titans did.
They did.
A lot of people want Stilley's fat feet take to be in that. But I'd say I would put that best. I would too. I would not put that worse. Someone talking about Shannon Sharp, man. I don't even want to get into that one. I didn't know about that until I came in the pre-show meeting.
Yeah.
I still wish I didn't know about it.
It was a tough one. If you want to try to figure out what we're talking about, just Google it.
Or yeah.
Maybe don't. Mr. G on the text line says, here's the best thing in sports. My 49ers demolishing the Jets on Monday Night Football. Worst thing in the world of sports, the Carolina Panthers, who are absolute poverty this season. The Panthers have a chance to be especially bad.
Yeah. We had a Saints fan yesterday. And look, you should be excited. Your team looked good, but also it's like, yeah, just let's see them play against an actual professional football team. Chad says, worst is the assistant AD from Auburn being dumb on Twitter. I don't know what is
I haven't
that?
Seen that.
I don't know. They said the best is Cal serving up that delicious comeuppance. I don't know. Explain that to me, Chad. I didn't see what the assistant AD was. He talking trash about beating Cal? I know. I saw Paul Feinbaum. I was like, there is absolutely zero chance that Cal will win at Auburn.
Mm. So, tough one.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Rob on the text line. Best thing, Vandy with 18 AP votes. Thanks. Vandy on the verge of becoming a top 25 team. I think they got a good shot to get to 3-0 this week.
Hey, Pat Forty, friend of the show, he in his bracket, he's got Vandy right now.
Really?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously it's a real time, you know. I mean, they beat Vodtech, so I don't know. I know that's not – but, like, what are the best wins right now? Okay, so obviously he's got Northern Illinois in too, which beat Notre Dame. I mean, Georgia beat Clemson down.
Texas on the road to Michigan.
Yeah, but Michigan's not good. But, yes, that's still one of the best wins. Got some really smart, smart Michigan fans on the text line, by the way.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Vandy. All I know is Pat Forty's got him in his –
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely here for it.
He's got Vandy and Tennessee. What if we had a Vandy and Tennessee in the playoff?
What if it was the national title game? That'd be something.
I mean, let's dream. This time,
we talked about it in baseball. Like, I think at some point it may happen where it's the national title game in baseball. Diego Pavia leading the Doors to a nice playoff run here. I like it. I'm here for it.
God, I am too, man. I mean, they're a good best right now early in the season just for being fun and actually having an offense that's going to give people problems.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next, including a position group that maybe it is too early to panic, but having said that, maybe looking at the numbers from Sunday, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not too early to panic. We'll get into that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.